Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
The scripture we'll look at is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Like I said, I want to thank you guys for showing up on a Sunday. After our sunny week, we got, actually, sun's out now. Anybody feel the wind this morning? Yes. How many know it can still blow in this house? Yes. The Bible talks about a wind that can blow this house, but he's talking about a Holy Ghost wind. Yes. That's still alive and available for us today. We can enter our day tired and weak because our week has drained us. And we come in here tired and worn out, amen? And in need of refreshment. We find that in the Word of God. We find that in the Spirit of God. We find it in the presence of God. He is our strength, we said, yeah? Anybody still believe that? He's still our strength. My question to you is, does he run out of strength? All right, good. I'm laying some basics down. I got to greet my friends. And I learned this morning. It's like this, and then you go under. So you go right here, and you go here, and then you go under. Right here, to your hand, and then under. I'm greeting somebody in their language because I want them to be part of this community. Amen. I greet you all in this house. Amen. I listen to a lot of funny songs, and one of them I was listening to this week said, Onise Ianu. So I heard one, oh yes. Somebody knows what I'm talking about because we serve a God of awesome wonders. Amen. Yeah. Onise Ianu. I don't even know what language that is, but I was singing it because it was glorifying God. Book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. You guys don't want to hear the rest of that scripture, do you? All right. By whose stripes you were healed. I said, by whose stripes you were healed. The healing's already poured out. The righteousness is already poured out. The forgiveness of sin is already poured out. Say something nice to your neighbor as you're seated. If you're going to preach with me, say amen. Make up something if you have to. I'm here today to remind somebody that Calvary's cross is still enough. I said it's still enough. The cross that Jesus hung on, referred to as a tree, is still enough. So if you're looking for something that's a new revelation or a new idea or a new something video that you can post, this is going to be something you've heard before. We said earlier that you still read your Bible. And if we still read our Bible, we see that the very thing that I'm talking about today, the cross that Jesus hung on, from the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelation, all point towards that one thing. It all points to right there. In the very beginning, sin entered and God tried to clothe them. Amen. In the very beginning, in the very end, Jesus speaks about a Messiah. No? Does he speak about a ruling, soon and coming king? I think he does. Many of you don't know, but if you do, bear with me. But if you don't, I'm the youth pastor here. And at the beginning of the year, I started teaching some things. And there was a phrase that kind of got wore out called new year, new me, new you kind of thing. I don't even care what it is. And it's a new year, so I'm going to try to be something different, something new, right? Change. Anybody ever hear about that? So what I decided to do is go downstairs and talk to our teenagers, our young people, and start from the very basic stuff. And I told them, this is a Bible. This is the Word of God. This is where we find our instruction for correction, for rebuke. This is how we find out how to live our lives. Amen? We don't go looking to these. We go looking to the book. Because I'm a firm believer that if we're ever going to make any amount of progress in life, we have to understand our starting place. We have to understand our basics. And the very basic things is the Word of God and the love of God. So I decided I'm going to start the beginning of the year, and I'm going to start establishing the fact that, one, that there is a God. And that He created the heavens and the earth. And that the earth was without form and void. That sound familiar to anybody? Where do we find that? We find that in the book. Funny, huh? Then I went into talking about how God's nature is love. His very nature is love. So when we have His love in us, we're going to show love. So first I'm establishing that there is a God. Then I'm establishing that that God is love. The very next one is that we can trust that God. We can trust that Creator. We can trust that love. Amen? Raise your hand if this is too basic for you. I told our kids, I said, basic stands for becoming a student in Christ. We got to become a student in Christ, all right? Whether you're 5 minutes old or 100 years old, you still need to be a student in Christ. Amen. So excuse me if I'm a little remedial in my approach, but I think some basic things should never be removed. I live in a world that is lacking in absolutes. That is lacking in solid, firm foundations that do not move. One of those for me is Calvary's cross, because at that cross I find redemption. Without that, I have nothing. Without that, I have nothing but my old life. I have no escape from sin. It's a very basic absolute for me. Without it, I can't make it to heaven. Calvary's cross is enough. Last time I was up here, I talked about the root being holy. And if we're grafted into the root, then the branch is holy. What happens to a branch when it's tapped into a good root is it grows into a tree. So the natural progression of things is I'm going to talk about a tree. Not just any tree today. I'm going to talk about the tree that saved my life. It's the tree of Calvary that Jesus Christ hung on. Luke chapter 8 verse 13 says this. They on the rock, or they, he's talking about the parable of a sower. He said, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. We have that here, amen? And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Never have I seen a scripture so relevant to our day and age than this one right here. There's a word that goes out. There's an evangelism that goes out into our world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing hope and love and redemption. And they hear it, and it's joyful, and it brings a breath of fresh air into people's lives. And that's a great thing. Amen? But for some reason, there is no root, so that when temptation comes, they start to fall back onto what life was. And that becomes to overshadow their new life and steals their joy. But I'm talking about a root that is immovable. And it's rooted in the spirit and in love of an eternal God. Amen? That root has a tree. And before I go any further, I want to pray. Jesus, we take authority against every distraction, against any lie of the enemy right now. We bind every lie and curse of the enemy in this place and in our city. And we loose the love and the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, be exalted. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted high, I would draw all men to me. Yes? Scripture says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. We read that Jesus hung on a tree. Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 10, and 1 Peter talk about Jesus being put to death on a tree. If the root is holy, then the branches are holy. Amen. The cross is still enough for me. My salvation hung on that tree. My righteousness hung on that tree. My healing hung on that tree. Scripture says in Philippians, being confident of this very one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. What Jesus started in your righteousness, in your healing, in your newness of life, he is not done with. Amen. Do not be discouraged and dismayed and confused about the process that God has you on. I'm trying to speak to us today, wherever you're at in your walk with God, day one or day 1 million, never forget to keep your eyes on Calvary, because it's on that cross that your salvation is done. It's on that cross that he bought and paid a price for the newness of life you walk in today. It is easy to go back and think of the things that you've done and let that overshadow what Jesus did on that cross. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world, no weapon, no power, no spirit that is greater than what happened on that cross. Jesus was able to extinguish and put out the curse and punishment of death, hell, and the grave on that cross, somebody. And I get a little happy inside, because I know where I was when he was dying on that cross. Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. I didn't have the perfect life, so I get a little bit excited and happy when we talk about the goodness and the mercy of God and the love of God. If you're in this place and it's your first time and you wonder why people worship the way they worship in here, it's because they remember the cost that Calvary did for them, that purchased for them. They remember what it cost for them to come to an altar and lay everything down and stand up a new person. They understand what it's like to walk in newness of life. They understand what it's like to be free because they've been bound. And when you leave bondage, when you leave a crippling disease, when you leave constraint and suffocation of this world, and you gain freedom from it, you can't help but stand up straight and lift up your hands to believe again, and jump and shout for joy and lift your voice, because you weren't allowed to talk before. You weren't allowed to lift your voice. You were told to be quiet, but God is saying, I've made you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed, somebody. So when we get excited around here, when we talk about Jesus Christ, this happens. That's supposed to happen. Bible says he's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So if you're wondering why some of these crazy people are acting like they are, it's because we were crazy, but now we have a sound mind. Come on, somebody. Maybe you didn't have the voices telling you to do things, but some people in this house know what it's like. Some people know what it's like to be distracted under the influence of all kinds of horrible things. But God delivers you and sets you free to the very thought of that makes you sick. And all you want to do is come and hang on to Calvary's cross so you can be in his presence, somebody. I don't know about you, but the cross is still enough for me. It's still valid for me today. It's still relevant for me today. It's a joke and it sounds funny, but I need to stay cross-eyed. Some of you are already doing it. I can see it. But I'm here today in this place to shut the mouth of the devil. Amen. That says you can never be saved from what you've been through. I'm here to shut the mouth of the devil to say that you can never be free from everything that has been done to you and that you've done. Amen? Amen. I'm here to shut the mouth of the devil that says you've gone too far. There's no returning. And only you know what the faces of those people who told you those things look like. Only you know. And I could look at those faces and be reminded of all those things and all those things and all those things and forget about what Calvary did. And forget about the power and the purchasing power of the cross. And I could focus on the face of those things that said I'd never be and I never could. When I look in the book of Colossians, I see that I am complete in him, which is the head of every principality and power. If we have the first picture, I want to talk to you that Calvary's cross and the blood he shed is enough. We got one or two people that believe that still.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
I want to take you on a visit. If you were to visit Calvary today, if you were to go up to Golgotha's hill, if you would have been there that day, you would have seen some things. You would have heard some things. You would have smelled some things. And I tried to find some very relevant pictures so we can understand and get a very good picture of what was going on. So you would see that this man in his 30s named Jesus of Nazareth was condemned to death for a crime he did not commit, something he was not guilty of. He was wrongly accused, and his conviction was death. He's faced accusations, and his death was reserved for the worst of the worst, the crucifixion. The crucifixion was for the worst of the worst offenders. Jesus, an innocent man, had to be nailed to a cross by his hands and his feet. On the picture, we see that each nail was 5 to 7 inches long, driven somewhere near his hand and wrist. The picture shows what that looks like. When we get a glimpse of this, we see the way that Jesus had to hang and support his full body weight, hanging with his arms completely stretched. And what you don't know is that when you, somebody try it, when you fully extend both your hands, you expand your lungs to their fullest capability. So breaths become tight. Try it when you're out of here. You're full. That's just hard enough on its own. I don't see Jesus as being this scrawny, frail, weak person. I see him as a hardworking man who had some thick and stout about him. He had nothing desirable that we could look onto him, so I don't think he was Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything like that. But I believe he wasn't some little wimpy guy either. I know that because he stood on this cross, nailed to it, for over 6 hours. Excruciating pain, hanging. If he wanted to breathe, he would have to arch his back and use his back muscles to support himself. And fully extended, he had to push down on those nails and raise himself up so he can breathe with each breath. And it wasn't only his hands, but it was his feet, one on top of the other, nailed. They had it at an angle, so when he would arch his back, he would push down on those nails. The full weight of his body hanging there, just trying to breathe. The cross was still enough. He was forced to support those 3 nails. And we see that, and we could be kind of dismayed over that and discouraged. And like, what is going on here? Why would someone do that to somebody? But that's not the full story today. See, there's more to this story. We see he wasn't just nailed to that cross. He also had a crown of thorns that was beat onto his head to where it pierced his skull. He was whipped with a cat of 9 tails. And I'm not going to show those pictures because I want that image to come up in your own mind. I want you to picture what it was like for a savior, an innocent man, to take a beating for you. I want this to be real. I want this to be relevant. The cross that Jesus gave his life on is very real and relevant today as it ever was. The abuse and the punishment he took on Calvary was great enough to cover any abuse and ridicule and harm that you've ever experienced in your life. He couldn't support his full weight with his legs because of the pain. So he had to switch back and forth with each breath. With each breath, he's breathing and staying on there long enough, feeling the weight of sin. Every sin that you ever committed, everything that anybody now or ever will commit was resting on him. Feeling the weight and the guilt and the condemnation of doing wrong. That is a weight that some people can't even walk around healthy with. But this man did it after being beaten, after being whipped, after being tortured, after being mocked and ridiculed and spit on. People ripped hair out of his beard from his face. They spit on him. The people that were supposed to be with him, the people that said they love him and never turned their back on him, left him there to experience that on his own. And he did it anyway. The cross is enough for me. It overshadows anything I've ever been through. The struggle and the pain that he went through on that cross showed me the courage and compassion that he had for me. The courage and compassion he had for me, who I was one of the ones who spit in the face and ripped the beard out of his face and took the whip and whipped him because I didn't want nothing to do with God. Because I related him to other people. And so what God did is send his son, robed in flesh. He robed his spirit, right? And he walked and he talked and we got to see him. And we got to see his nature. And he built relationship with people. And he said, this is not going to be enough. A casual fellowship, a casual meeting together and breaking of bread is not going to be enough. I'm going to have to do something drastic to let them know that I am serious. That it's got to be so emphatic enough that it's going to last through eternity. He even said, if there's any other way. If there's any other way, let this cup pass. Let it pass. Nonetheless, let your will be done. I don't know if you understand that, but God's will was for you to be saved at any cost. God's will was for you to do whatever it takes to remove every excuse that you could ever come up with so you can live at peace with him. So that you can rule and reign with him. So that you can enjoy the sweetness of his presence. So that you can enjoy and see what righteousness looks like. Amen. I have a picture up here. And I want you to never forget that he hung there. I want you to never forget that there is a man named Jesus Christ who came to die for your sins. Not just a generic your, but for your sins. At one point, he stopped bleeding altogether, and only water came from his wounds. If we were to go to Calvary's cross and see that tree, it'd be covered in blood. We would see the wounds on his hands and his feet. But we wouldn't even recognize who that man was anymore. He paid it all. He paid the ultimate price. We wouldn't see the damage that the hammer did when it was nailing into his hands and in his feet. We wouldn't see the bruising from the beating that he took. We wouldn't see the bruising of the weight on his spirit. We would not see that. We wouldn't see that with every breath he took, he was opening up the wounds on his back that he was whipped on that piece of tree. That he hung on every time he moved. He's scraping a ripped open back trying to breathe. I'm trying to make this real for somebody today. Most men would not have survived that type of torture. He had no more blood to pour out, only love. Love is what kept him going. Love for you. And I'm here to remind you today, it's going to be your love for Jesus Christ that will keep you going. When it's time to look back on everything that has happened, it's going to be your love for God and what he did on Calvary's cross that's going to carry you through. When you don't want to anymore, when you're too tired anymore, when you have every other excuse. It's like, no, my God, he died on a cross for me. He did that because we could not save ourselves. He did that because we could not put down an amount of money that said this should cover it. We couldn't bring enough goats and bulls to come in and cover the expense that we have accumulated over our life and in our actions and in our thoughts. The Bible says if you think it, you already did it in your heart.
I'm going to say that again because we need to not forget that if you think it, you've already committed the act in your heart. And Jesus knew that we would not be able to get under the weight of all of that. Amen. So he said, I'm going to pour out my love. I'm going to pour out my flesh so that you can be free. So that you can be saved. He endured that experience to free you from sin and its eternal hold on you. He endured it so you can have access to the Spirit of God. I don't know if you know this, but when he died, the veil that separated the very presence of God from everybody else was rent. It was ripped. I don't get any amens on that, but I need to let somebody know the Spirit of God was not reserved for just an ordinary person. Only a select person one time a year could entertain the presence of God and be in his presence and feel his presence and get instruction for his presence. We can never get too far in our walk with God that we forget what happened on Calvary. We're never too saved to forget Calvary. We're never too good or too bold enough or too this or too that to forget what happened on Calvary's cross. The sacrifice that he did can never leave our minds. It's our go-to. It's our control point. I worked in land surveying, and there was always one point on the job site where you had a control point, and everything on that job site was set off of that one point about the head of a nail. It was a stake in the ground with a nail in it. And everything on that, we took our sights and everything was shot from that one point. That was zero. That was the chief cornerstone. Everything in your life has got to be done by the love and compassion that Jesus showed you. That's it. My God, there was thieves that hung next to him. And one of them said that he didn't deserve the punishment. One of them knew he deserved it. Well, the other didn't care. One of them repented, and one of them got to make it. He said, today you'll be with me. Philippians says he has begun a good work, and he's going to perform it to the very end. What Jesus started on your initial salvation, he's going to be faithful to complete. That's a process, somebody. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I don't pray enough. I don't read enough. I keep messing up. Good. It's a process. It's a daily process where we have to come daily back to the feet of the cross of Calvary and repent and keep moving forward and moving forward and moving forward. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. That means every single day you wake up, today is the day I'm saved. Today is the day that I saved. I might have got saved in 1967, but today in 2020, in the month of February, in the state of Oregon, today is the day of salvation. We can visit Calvary's cross today and start over fresh, start over new. That promise is for everyone. Amen, somebody. Yeah. We don't have to get frustrated because we're not perfect, because he is. Calvary's cross gave us a look into the nature of Almighty God. He knows your frailty and he made a way. If we could have that second picture, we see one that I found that really messed me up when I started studying this. This is the stuff that I knew, and this is the stuff I didn't really pay attention to. See, after he breathed his last breath, he said, it is finished. Yes. Somebody needs to get excited over the it is finished. What he completed is done. The healing, the righteousness, the salvation, it is done. You don't have to earn it anymore. He completed it. It is finished. Hell's grasp, sin's grasp, it was defeated. It was finished. And after he breathed his last breath, and after they shoved that spear into his side and water poured out, in the darkness of the day, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went to retrieve the body of Jesus. The Bible says that he bled. And by that blood we're healed. The Bible says that they didn't even recognize him because of the beating he took. But these two men went up to go pull down a bloodied, beaten body from a cross. I'm not sure how true this is. But there is absolutely no way they can get that body down without being covered in the very blood of Jesus Christ and the very water that poured from his body. They could not help but be stained with it, be covered with it. The smell of the blood, the limpness and the weight of his body, they felt, and that forever changed their mind and their hearts on the price of Calvary. It became very intimate. Their salvation became very intimate to these two men. When they went and took Jesus down from there, they were one-on-one with him. They began to hold him. Before Thomas ever got to put his finger into the side or the wounds, these two men got to experience Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. I want to turn your attention to the book of John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, I really encourage you. In fact, I strongly encourage you to open it and look at the book of John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. And if you've read it before, good. Good, because you need to get back to basic things, simple things. Is that all right if I turn with you? All right. Thank you, Brother Tony. I think the turning of Bible pages invites angels to minister. That's just me, though. John chapter 3, verse 5. What we don't know, one of these men, Nicodemus, who came to take him down, came to Jesus at night because he didn't want people to see him talking to him. And he goes to him at night and starts asking him some questions. And Jesus tells him in verse 5, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again." I don't know about you, but that's in red. My book. I don't know about you, but right before that, Jesus said it. I don't know about you, but if anyone has any kind of authority or description or ability to talk about what goes on in heaven, I understand that it's Jesus Christ. I understand that it's God robed in flesh. I understand that heaven is a God thing. Heaven is a reward from God. It's a habitation where he dwells. And if I'm going to make it into there, I have to go by his rules. Amen. He set a precedence. He said, if you're going to make it, you got to be born again. You got to be born of the water and you got to be born of the Spirit. He told Nicodemus that. In the same conversation, in the same paragraph, in the same line of sentence, in the same visit, Jesus still speaking to Nicodemus. In verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now I believe this. I believe those words were ringing in his mind when he was pulling him down off of that cross, covered in his blood. God gave his only begotten Son, that I could be saved. That I could be saved. And I'm overwhelmed a little bit today because I put myself in his shoes. I put myself in the shoes of Nicodemus, who was too afraid to go to Jesus when everybody else was around. When everything was happening, when it got tough. When it got hard to live for God, to live for Jesus. When everybody was turning their back on God, he did not. I put myself there. And I want to be the person that says, I don't care what everybody's doing. I don't care what the culture is doing and the spirit of the air is doing. None of that matters right now. What does matter is God's will for our souls to be saved. What matters is that a lost and dying world finds redemption for their sin. And we find that through Calvary's cross. We find that through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, applying his sacrifice on that tree to our life. The Bible said if the root is holy, then that tree is holy. Amen. If the root is holy, then the tree is holy. If what Jesus is trying to accomplish in your life is holy, you can trust the holy working of God. If you have to give up some things, if you have to give up family and ideas and past relationships and family members, I said it again more than once because somebody needs to hear. Sometimes we have to cross some lines and say, I'm not going back there anymore. There is nothing for me over there. What God has for me is better. What God has for me is holy. What God has for me is salvation. What God has for me is righteousness. What God has for me is healing. And it's worth it. It's worth it to make the plunge from one way to another. Jesus showed you it was worth it because he spent his life on that cross. And to show you that he was not messing around. They tried to put him away. They tried to hide away what happened on Calvary. And he said, no, I am not staying in a tomb. I am not staying locked up. I'm not staying under death. It is not going to happen. And we know 3 days later, he rose again. Amen, somebody. Jesus. He did that for a reason, so that you too can rise again from whatever death, from whatever darkness, from whatever grave you're currently sitting in. You can rise again in newness of life when you are grafted into the root of that tree of Calvary. Amen, somebody. Salvation was demonstrated. And hopefully I've led you to a holy tree. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you become grafted to a root, you take on the very nature and DNA of the root. That becomes who you are. You become in him and he is in you. So now when you walk, Jesus is walking. Now when you speak, Jesus has the opportunity to speak. When you pray, the Holy Ghost can pray through you. See, what happens is when Jesus' blood poured out and he ran out of blood, he poured out water. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins in the book of Hebrews. Somebody read that. Who was that? That's right. Somebody. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he poured out every last drop that he has to cover every last drop of sin. But he did not stop there, because after that blood, he started pouring out water. The Bible gives reference to water, living water. The Bible says out of his belly, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. So after our initial salvation, the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can step into newness of life with the infilling of the Holy Ghost like the Bible talks about. Two people. The Holy Ghost is just as real as Calvary's cross. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is just as real as the salvation and blood of Jesus Christ. The infilling that you can feel around you, the Spirit of God that is around this place even now, has a chance today in this place. Once the blood is applied to your life and you've repented of your sins, you can lift your hands to believe again. And the Bible says that that rushing mighty wind will blow into your life, and out of your belly will come a language that you do not understand. It will become, you will become an instrument of God. The Bible says you will speak in an unknown tongue as the Spirit gives you utterance. How many believe that? Well, good for you, because whether you believe it or not, Acts chapter 2 declares it. Jesus Christ said you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He was speaking about the Holy Ghost. He was speaking about the Spirit of God flowing through you, somebody. After Calvary's cross, after the redemption blood, there is a newness and Spirit-led life that God is offering you today. But you cannot ever bypass Calvary's cross. You can never walk by that tree and say, okay, that's cool for that, but I'm just going to enjoy the goodness of living for God. The cross was meant to be horribly ugly. The cross was meant to be disgusting. Jesus on that cross said, God, why have you forsaken me? And God let me know something. Jesus Christ took on the sins of the world at that cross. And he felt forsaken of Almighty God, because where there is sin, God has no business being around. He will not partake of it. And he did not want nothing to do with it. The Spirit of God did not want to habitate with sin. You cannot bypass Calvary's cross and make it to heaven. There is a place called hell that is reserved for an unrepented heart. I'm talking about absolutes that aren't talked about anymore. I'm talking about absolutes of salvation. You have got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. If not, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hell is real, just as real as Calvary's cross. But so is heaven. So is newness of life. So is righteousness. If we can have the musicians, I'm going to wrap it up because I didn't even set my timer. One other thing I want you to leave here with. On that cross, when those men were taking Jesus down, just before that, just before he gave up his last breath, he looked at the disciple that he loved and he said, that's your mother. And he said, Mom, that's your son. I'm going away now, but I'm giving you a family through this redemption. I'm giving you a family through this salvation. What I'm doing here is reuniting something that you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave some physical things and be grafted into some spiritual things. You're going to have to leave some family things, but you will make it up in the family of God. Somebody hear me today. Somebody hear me today. You don't want to walk away from family. You don't want to walk away from friends. But I'm here to tell you this. At Calvary's cross, he can replace everything that you have lost. You don't believe me? Look at the book of Job. He was blessed more than enough. My God is still more than enough. Whatever you leave behind, he can restore. The Bible says, pressed down, poured out. Come on, somebody. Running over. If you need a friend, you'll find it at Calvary's cross. If you need a family, you'll find it at Calvary's cross. If you need redemption and righteousness because you have none of your own, you can find it at Calvary's cross. Amen. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they could be white as snow. Though red like crimson, shall be as wool. I've given you my heart. Jesus Christ gave you everything he had. I think it'd only be proper and fitting if we were to get up and take a walk to Calvary's cross, up that hill, and every step you take, picture that man carrying that cross, your cross that you deserve to carry, the punishment that you deserve to make payment for. He did it for you. So I'm going to open up this altar, and I only want people who want to thank Jesus Christ for what he did that day to come forward. I want people who need that redemption, that blood to cover their sins. I want people who know that they cannot make it on their own. That they have some things that they got to leave and they cannot do it without Calvary's cross. If you could stand in this place. These great musicians are going to sing some songs and play some music. And I want to encourage you. If you're here and you want to pray, the altar's open. People will pray with you. If you have to leave, understand this one thing. I love you. Jesus Christ loves you. And this church loves you. Enjoy the sunshine. And you are dismissed to enjoy your day or enjoy the presence of God. In Jesus' name.